Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast. You know, the Lord speaks to us in a variety of ways. You know that. Sometimes it's He just gets our attention through seeing something and He speaks to us. Sometimes it's out of a conversation that somebody mentions something and somehow afterwards the Lord or at that moment just begins to speak to you about something. Obviously, as we read His Word, He's speaking to us continually. It could be during worship. It could be during prayer. It can happen at any moment. I'm so grateful that He has designed it, that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, that He resides in His temple, you and I, who believe in Him, and He can speak to us at any time, any situation. Doesn't matter how busy, how noisy it is, it's like His voice comes through. Somehow gets our attention. Sometimes He uses signs and wonders. And I'm grateful for all the ways that I've mentioned, and so much more in how He speaks to us. I had a conversation with somebody very briefly, and just felt like, you know, this is something that I'm going to share with all of us. And it actually came out of a conversation that I had with Gail True. She came up right over here and asked me a question about a scripture verse. And since then, it's just kind of been sitting in me, stirring in me, however you want to put it. And so I'm going to share this with you this morning. It's in John chapter 21. As you're turning to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, if you're not real familiar with the Scripture, I just want you to know this is after Jesus is crucified, okay? And He rose again from the dead. We know that. He revealed Himself to people. And this right here is a third occasion that He revealed Himself specifically to some of the disciples. And where it says the disciples, and it doesn't give a number, we discover as we read through the Scripture that He revealed Himself to all of them, but not all of them were present on every occasion. And so He revealed Himself to people who followed Him, who were His disciples, not just the 12, but others who were His disciples, believed upon Him. Now, here we are in John 21, in verse 1, and I'm going to read for a little bit here, so just be patient, and you can follow along if you want. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. You can turn to the contents and look where Gospel of John is, and turn there and go to chapter 21. If you don't own a Bible, I want you to know that you can take that Bible with you today. That's yours. You make it your own. You can put your name in the front, take it with you. It's your Bible. We have them here as a gift for you. And it's God's gift to all of us, His Word. And so I want you to know you can make that your own. John chapter 21, after this, Jesus revealed Himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And He revealed Himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to these disciples, he says, I'm going fishing. Now I want you to pause here for a moment. Before Peter and Jesus were introduced, what did Peter do for a living? He was a fisherman, right? Okay? He was a fisherman. In fact, some of what you're going to read about here is going to sound really similar to an occasion that happened back in Luke chapter 5, and I'll probably make reference to that. He says, I'm going fishing. The others said to Peter, we'll go with you. And they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Okay, they're out on the water. They're in the boat. They're about 100 yards from shore. You're thinking, how did I figure that out? It tells us. Okay? Didn't make it up. About 100 yards or so from shore. And Jesus is on shore. They don't know that it's him. He yells out to them, do you have any fish? They answered him, no. You know, it's not uncommon if you come from a land where there's a lot of lakes, a lot of fishermen. It's not uncommon, you know, wave at another boat or say, how you doing? Catching anything? Just kind of talk back and forth. So this was not strange for the fishermen to hear somebody call out, you catching anything? Jesus replied when they said no, he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. You're going to find some fish over there. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul the net in because of the quantity of fish. It's a little like Luke 5, where Jesus was teaching and he sees these fishermen and says, let's put out a little bit. I want to teach the people. And when he was done teaching, he said, let's go out and let's fish. And they reply to him and say, listen, master, they weren't his disciples yet, okay? They just said, master, rabbi, teacher, listen, we've been out all night. We didn't catch anything. We're here. We were cleaning our nets. We're ready to pack it in. You know, this is, and Jesus just says, let's go fishing. And they said, all right, nevertheless, we'll take you out, rabbi. And they go out, and they catch an enormous amount of fish. And Jesus and Peter has a confession. Peter was one of the fishermen. Peter says, falls on his knees, and he says to Jesus, depart from me. Leave me alone. I'm a sinful man. And I can see that you're holy. And Jesus replied to Peter's request, his confession of sin, his acknowledgement that Jesus is holy. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. From now on, I'm going to teach you to fish for men. Do kingdom of heaven work. Carry the gospel. Reach people. With my grace, my mercy, my kind, all of this. This is what Jesus was conveying to him. Now, if you're familiar with the scripture and the parables and the disciples walked with Jesus and all the way up to, okay, the hour where Jesus was being tested and tried, do you remember that Peter was outside? The one who was, I'm sinful, leave me. And Jesus says, I'm not leaving you. You're going to follow me. I'm going to teach you to catch people for the kingdom of heaven, for eternity. I got a noble task for you. Do you remember that walking through the Gospels and comes to the hour where Jesus is being tried and suffered before he's crucified? And Peter is recognized by three different groups of people. Peter denies knowing Jesus. And the rooster crowed, right? And Peter was told this at the first communion, the first Passover, Passover that became communion, because they were sitting there together. And he says to Peter, listen, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I've prayed for you. And you will deny me three times before the rooster crows. And then Jesus is crucified. Peter denied knowing him. Then Jesus is resurrected. Jesus has revealed himself to some people. And on the third occasion where Jesus is revealing himself to some of the disciples, Peter's there. We know he's there for sure this time. It's interesting that somehow the Lord can always bring us back to a place, an experience, and a reminder of where we first heard. That through life, our ups and downs, our failures, our disappointments, He has a way to still bring us back and keep us on track. Peter was a fisherman. He confessed he was sinful. He acknowledged Jesus was holy. He became a catcher of men for the kingdom of heaven. Was trained by Jesus. Jesus' hour of testing, Peter denies him. Jesus is dead. Jesus resurrects. Peter's gone back to fishing. Jesus meets him on the shore. I love this. So he says, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. They cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because the quantity of fish. Verse 7 of John 21. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, in other words, John, this is how John refers to himself as he writes. He says to Peter, Peter, it's the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped down for work. He threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in by boat, dragging the net filled with fish, for they were not far from land, but about 100 yards off. Here's Peter, and he recognizes, as John tells him, it's the Lord. This was the man that first said, away from me, I'm sinful. And Jesus took him in. Now, in a similar scenario, after they have had life together for a few years, only this was after spiritual disappointment on Peter's part. A disappointment that he denied Jesus. A disappointment, a spiritual disappointment that went on because Jesus was crucified. His Lord, his master, his discipler, his mentor, the one who loved Peter and the one who Peter does love. But Jesus was crucified. I mean, we read from after the fact and we read back and we know some of the outcome. And Peter was told, just like others, that, you know, Jesus was going to give his life. He was going to lay it down. He was going to pick it up again. I mean, we understand it. We're reading and looking back on history. Peter's in the story. He's in the present. There was disappointment. Life wasn't going to be the same. Used to walk with Jesus and live with Jesus. Used to pray near Jesus. We ate together. We laughed together. Probably cried together. Got rebuked by him. Got encouraged by him. Saw him do miracles. saw him speak with such authority, and now he's gone. Things didn't turn out quite like maybe Peter hoped or like Peter thought he could understand. His master died. He resurrected. He's been seen, but it's not the same. And now Jesus is on the shore, and Peter lives with what he's done. He's not out catching men like when he was first called. He went back to fishing. But when he knows it's the Lord, it was no longer depart from me. It was I'm 100 yards away, and I'm throwing on my garment, and I'm swimming to shore, because the boat isn't going to make it fast enough. Compelled by such passion, by such love, compelled by the voice of the Lord and the revelation that it's Jesus. Verse 9, when they got on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus was busy. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Which allows you to know that there's some time going on here. We read verse to verse, but there's time going on here. It's go get some more fish, and then the fire's burning, and there's a few fish on it, and they're going to get some more, and now they've got to, you know, gut them, clean them, skin them, whatever they do, get them ready, not to gross you out. But all of this is going on. All of a sudden, it's turning into this wonderful shore lunch, this beautiful reunion, this excitement, this passion that they're together again. And the disciples, they're not sure. They're not sure. Does this mean that Jesus is going to hang around now and we're going to go back to doing what we were doing before? They don't know. They just know he's here right now. And they've got hopes, and they probably got some unanswered questions, and they've got some new questions. They've got some old ones maybe answered. They're just together. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus revealed to the disciples after he was raised, revealed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, then tend my sheep. He said to Peter a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to the Lord, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, then feed my sheep. It's as far as I'll read in this chapter for the point this morning. He said, do you love me more than these? These is not really referred to very much if you were to try to look and study this passage. And so it begs the question, who or what are these? Do you love me more than these? It would be easy to think that Jesus is saying to Peter, listen, do you love me more than these other guys? That's not what Jesus was asking. Jesus was asking this. Do you, Peter, love me more than these? Than these fish? You think, what are you talking about? Jesus is there. They just finished breakfast. All the fish are not cleaned yet. So you got to use a little bit of imagery here, and I'm not trying to take things out of context, but they're there at the shore lunch, and there's the seven disciples, and there's Jesus, and they just had bread and fish and breakfast, and they're done. They just kind of hauled the net up. There's a bunch of fish there that they got to, clean now and take care of. And Jesus is talking to Peter, and he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? And I can see as if Jesus... And it doesn't say this, but he's making reference to the fish. Jesus, do you love me more than these? Now, to you and I, it might seem like a very silly question. But where was Peter found again by the Lord? He was fishing. Luke 5. It was his livelihood. It's what he knew. It's what he did to, make money. It's what he did to set aside his needs for, maybe family or retirement, his 401k, whatever they had. Whatever they did, this is how he had made money to take care of the needs in his life or to take care of wealth or whatever it is. And then to take these fish to market or sell them. It was his livelihood. It's what he depended on. He depended on having a good night fishing every time he went out. Now, he didn't always catch fish. We find that out. But that's what he needed. After his being a disciple and following Jesus and denying Jesus, and Jesus was crucified, now he's raised to life and he's shown himself randomly a couple of times to the disciples. Peter, after spiritual disappointment, after a lack of understanding, still trying to, because I know humanity, still in his mind trying to figure out what happened, what could have been different. And yet we know it's the Lord, he has a perfect plan. But the struggle in his faith, in his walk, in his faithfulness, in his guilt, in all of these things that you and I deal with as we walk with the Lord and try to follow him. And Jesus finds him again, and he went back to fishing. It's interesting that after we experience some measure of spiritual disappointment or disappointment in our life, that we tend to go back to where we were. Now, if you've been a Christian for a while and you've walked with the Lord and you come into some spiritual disappointment, some struggle, and it turns out not like you hoped, not like you prayed, we grow frustrated. We try to look for an answer. Why? How come? And in that frustration, we many times go back to where we were last. It doesn't mean we backslid or we went into a life of sin and we got lost again and just gave up on the Lord and we just, walked out. It's just that we went back to where we were last, kind of comfortable, what we were used to. For some, they're new in the Lord. Something didn't work out the way you wanted. Yeah, maybe that you allow yourself to be thrown into a tailspin and you go back into a life of sin. You're kind of like the Israelites. We're going to the promise, but the promise isn't working out as quick as we want. So you know what? Life was better in Egypt. It was better being a slave. It's better where I was before. It wasn't great, but at least there wasn't disappointment. There wasn't discouragement. There weren't things that I was trying to figure out and wrestle with. There's a tendency that we have, humanity, is to go back to where it's safe. It's not best. We'll just kind of sit with our longings and try to ignore them. Try to just kind of be faithful where we were. Here's Peter, called to be a fisher of men. And when Jesus is crucified and that part's done, he goes back. After all he learned, after all that was invested in him, he went back to fishing. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than this livelihood? Do you love me more than where things were comfortable? Do you love me more than the things you were familiar with? Do you love me more than just where you can kind of be status quo and float through life and maybe where you feel like things are maybe not best, but at least there's some measure of security? Do you love me more? That was the significance of the fish. It wasn't, hey, tell me how much you love me, Peter. Do you love me more than fish? It's, do you love me more than these? In other words, do you love me more than what your life has been before you met me? Well, you and I probably aren't fishermen for a living. I know that there are several of you in this audience who fish, and according to your spouses, it's a good thing that you don't fish for a living. I won't mention any names. There you are. I'm kidding you. What is the these in your life? What is it we go back to? After spiritual disappointment or spiritual frustration or things didn't go our way or, you know, my prayers seemed to be unanswered. Jesus shows up and just says, Peter, do you love me more than these fish? Do you love me more than what your life has represented before you knew me? Why are you going back to this? He says, Lord, I love you more than these. I love you more than these. And Jesus says, listen, then go feed the sheep. The ones I died for, the ones I'm redeeming. Go feed them. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. I can't hide anything from you. And Jesus knows. Listen, Jesus knows the answers to these questions. He knows what's in Peter. Listen, Peter jumped overboard, swam 100 yards just to get to shore. He couldn't wait for the boat ride. It was too slow dragging the fish. Peter loves Jesus. Loves him. Failed, stumbled, tripped, yeah, just like you and me. But Peter loves him. And Jesus is restoring him and reinstating him and saying, listen, don't let the failures, don't let the where you feel like you weren't faithful or you were faithless or you made some poor decisions or contrary to my call for you, my purpose for you. Listen, don't let that throw you back into an old life, an old state, a former place in your mind. Jesus is saying, listen, we're good. We're good. Peter, yeah. You denied me, but we're good. We're okay. I know you love me. I just don't want you going back to this. I have something greater for you to experience, to do. I want to reveal myself through you. I want to bring glory to the Father through your life, Peter. You denied me. But don't keep carrying it with you, because I know you love me. So get busy. Feed the sheep. Tend the sheep. Serve the sheep. Do kingdom ministry. Listen, for you and I in our lives, don't let spiritual disappointment, some unanswered prayer, something that you did wrong, continue to ride you with guilt, when deep down inside, you love the Lord. He sees it. Don't let that throw you into some tailspin where you're out of control and you just land somewhere that you lived before. Jesus is into restoring. He's into reinstating. He remembers what he promised and what he called you for. He remembers the plans that he has for you. And you may feel like, there's just no way anymore. Well, through him, there could still be a way. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is missed opportunity. But he hasn't given up on you. He still loves you. He still has purpose. Listen, here's Peter, and Jesus knew this. Jesus, like Peter said, Lord, you know everything. You know everything. You can see my heart. I can't hide anything. Look at me. You know I love you. Jesus also remembers that Satan has asked to sift Peter like wheat. Jesus knew the struggle. He prophesied it. He told Peter, listen, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows. I will never do that. Jesus is still showing up, serving shore lunch. Because he wants to talk to Peter. Jesus went out of his way to make lunch, to show up where the boys were going to be coming in with an empty net. Jesus was there in advance, got the fire going, got a few fish on the fire. I don't even want to ask how he got them. I mean, this is the Lord. He's like, hey, listen, we got to pay tax. You go down to the water, and you're going to find a fish with a coin in its mouth enough to pay the temple tax. What? Just go. Sure enough. I mean, this is phenomenal. Do we forget who he is? Three of you, up here. You. Hit the coals. Went out of his way because he didn't give up on Peter. And he has not given up on you. I don't care if you've denied him. I don't care if you've missed an opportunity this last week or whenever of glorifying his name and upholding his name and witnessing him and his saving grace to somebody you knew you should have. It ain't over for you. It ain't over. He's making lunch for you somewhere. You know when it got all better for Peter? You know what made the difference for Peter? Is when he understood that it was Jesus on shore. When there was a revelation of Jesus that came to his life. If you identify somewhere with Peter this morning in your walk or spiritual disappointment or whatever it is, I'm telling you what'll solve it is you get somewhere where Jesus will reveal himself to you. He will chase you. He will chase you. He will look for you. You cannot hide from him. Bible says this in Psalms, Lord, where can I go from your presence? If I cross over the big pond, and I'm paraphrasing here, cross over the big pond to get to another country, you are already there. You cannot outrun him. And here's the other thing. His patience is longer than your effort and stamina to run. Because it's who he is. Listen. Do you love him more than these? Not more than the person down the pew. Not in comparison to anybody else's love for him. It's what do you love more than him? That's what represents these. To Peter, it wasn't just the fish, it was the life. What is it you love more than the Lord? Because when he says, do you love me more than this or these? He points to it. He knows what it is. And when he does that, it's not with condemnation. He already knows that you're going to confess. It's that he's drawing you back out and getting you back on track to fulfill his call, his purpose, his design for you. He hasn't forgotten. He loves you too. He knows your busy life and your struggle. He knows you're juggling kids or working two jobs or whatever it is. He knows your schedule. He knows where to meet you. But when you recognize that he has showed up, you had better bail. And you had better run to him, swim to him, climb to him. Whatever it is, let go of everything and get to him. Because the revelation of him to us again makes all the difference. It brings all the assurance, all the stability, all the security. More security than your income. After all, how long is your money going to last you? Till you die, right? How long will your faith carry you? Eternity, right? That's a little bit longer. Get it? So what is it that you love more than him?
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.